the home 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube page, as well as the ESPN app, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. With that, we say hello. It is November 4th, Field, and Mike Clay, and Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp here. We've got a full boat after a very small number of people involved with the podcast yesterday. That's good, right. To see both of you guys. Good to have Daniel back. Mike, we'll go around the horn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay. Pretty good. Just ready to talk some ball. So I'm surprised I'm back, actually. I thought with Kyle sitting in, I might just be off the show now. He's the permanent replacement. But
to be clear, the reason why we haven't heard from Kyle yet today is that he's been in negotiations with the powers that be since yesterday. They're ongoing. A lot of money involved. So you may not be back next week. So enjoy this moment today.
Yeah, my agent said he had a meeting. That must be
That might explain a few things.
That must be it. Okay.
Stefania, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, good. We can also, of course, watch Stefania on, is this correct, the Sports Nation today?
Yes, Sports Nation. Also debuting on another show, The Point, hockey show. Oh, yeah, big trade went down in hockey, and there's an injury concern around it.
So. Jack Eichel has been shipped to Las Vegas. Yes, big trade, one that's been talking about for a while.
A lot of discussion about which surgery he's going to have, and if you want to find out.
He's on my dynasty team, so we might have to talk about that like right now. Can we talk about that right now?
Sure.
We take 20 minutes to talk through this, what my plan should be in my my dynasty league. Pierre runs that, actually.
Oh, does he?
That's his league.
One of the bosses here at the ESPN Fantasy. Jack Eichel, the pride of Chelmsford, Massachusetts, and of course a BU Terrier, and now a former Buffalo Sabre. He is part of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, a very strong team, gets even stronger. Daniel Dopp is back as well. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I broke my mechanical pencil that my little brother made me, and I can't put it back together.
Wow. Your
I'm
brother made so you a pencil?
Yeah, he does a bunch of, like, he's a fantastic woodworker, but he makes a bunch of pens and pencils and stuff, like, on the lathe. Like, he'll, like, turn everything, and then I bring him in to be able to use.
Well, it's nice you helped him out there by telling people on the air that his pencil broke.
I broke the pencil. I can't figure out how to get it back together. His pencil's
the worst
great.
Endorsement of that pencil of all time.
Guys, you know what?
Hey, happy Mike White Day, everybody, as Mike White and the Jets play the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday Night Football. We will, of course, preview that. We'll talk wide receiver cornerback matchups. Hear from Mike on Derrick Henry, but we have to start with lots of news. And Stefania, still relatively early in the practice week, but the most important health storyline that we are monitoring amongst players that could play in Week 9 is Christian McCaffrey. And where are we at with his recovery and progress from that hamstring issue?
Well, he's out there, and I think the expectation is that he's going to make his return in Week 9. So far, that's what the signs would suggest. I think what's going to be interesting if he does play, at least for me, because this is a hamstring injury that, just to recap, he came back about a week later and was practicing, and we thought, hey, this is not a big deal. And then a week after that, he's suddenly not practicing and shortly thereafter goes on IR. So sort of a seesaw with Christian McCaffrey. And I think there's got to be concern on the Panthers side. They don't want to put him back too soon. They wanted him to do too much too soon, but he remains the running back with the most touches per game in the NFL. And we know that when you have a hamstring injury, you come back as a running back, your chance of recurrence of injury is approximately 11%. Okay. So, you know, 1 in 10 chance that he has another hamstring injury, even bigger chance that he has some other soft tissue injury following this. That's just what the data shows. Mm-hmm. And the more you work, the more the risk goes up. So I'm hopeful that if he does come back, they're going to at least take charge of how much he's on the field. And fantasy managers may not love that at first, but you're going to love it if it means he's healthy for the rest of the season.
I actually baked that into my ranking of McCaffrey. I have him 5th this week, lower than I believe consensus by like 3 or 4 spots, like, which I know sounds like, you know, hey, it's 5 versus 1. Like, you're still he's a must start still. But I do think there's a chance that if they do play in this weekend, they're a little bit smarter about it.
Yeah, I mean, now you might not get 32 points a game, maybe get 27. Like, that's rough.
No, you know? But seriously, like, maybe especially early on, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays, I'm just making this up, 60% of the snaps as opposed to 80 or 85 or 90% of the snaps.
Yeah, and right? I wasn't being over snarky intentionally. I'm just saying, like, even if his role is lower, you're still going to have such a high ceiling with that guy because he's so good and he's still going to play a lot. But, you know, It would be new, though, if he's limited. You know, like that would be a new thing. He, every time he's come back from injury, you know, they're like, all right, maybe we'll rotate the backup in for three snaps.
Exactly. Right. So it would be new. You know, right? That's the problem. And you know what? To be fair, like when he came back last year from a high ankle sprain, you can't, it's apples to oranges because he came back, he had a little bit longer off than people thought. But he did well and he looked great. The only thing happened at the end of the game was he took a shot to the shoulder and ended up with a totally different injury. That's right. This thing, though, with the hamstring so soon after coming back, that this is a much bigger concern.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on A, if he does return, and B, if he does return, how much does he play? Daniel, what do you got?
Two questions really quickly. Why can't fruit be compared? One. And two.
That's a great question.
And two, if Chuba Hubbard ends up going, because we find out Christian McCaffrey ends up being not able to go this week, where would he slot in? Because right now, I believe he's not ranked by all of us. Where would he slot in, give or take, within like a tier of your rankings?
Same spot he's been for me. Somewhere between 18 and 25 for my running back ranks.
Give or take.
Yeah, he'd be in RB2. He should be in lineups. Actually, I looked at this over the past 4 weeks. Third in the NFL in carries, believe it or not.
Wow.
Third in carries. He's also has 16 targets during this span. It's a pretty decent workload. The fantasy results haven't been great. You know, it's not like it's Mike Davis last year all over again. We haven't really seen that despite him playing a lot. But nonetheless, there's enough volume, enough production. He's in the RB2 mix.
And by the way, you can compare fruit. But the saying is meant to say, like, apples and oranges are not identical. Hamstring strains and high ankle sprains are not identical, Daniel. So you don't want to necessarily equate one type of injury with another, even though they're both injuries. Like apple and oranges are both fruit.
No, I hear you. It's just that Christian McCaffrey go hard. And when he goes hard, it's, you know, that happens sometimes. So
I was asking the same question for the record, Daniel. Let's keep things moving here. We go to Arizona, where there are a bunch of names that are on the injury report for one reason or another. Stefania, most notably Kyler Murray.
Late in the last game, and it sort of got overlooked because everybody was talking about AJ Green not turning around to catch the ball, but Kyler Murray got rolled up on and that play was clearly in pain and ended up leaving the stadium in a walking boot. But it was so late in the game that we didn't really pay attention. And now he does not practice on Wednesday because of the ankle issue. Cliff Kingsbury made it sound a little iffy as far as his status for the weekend, which I think made people nervous. But Kyler Murray, in typical Kyler Murray fashion, said, I'm good, and made it sound like he plans to be out there. So still early in the week, we shall see. Obviously, he is so mobile that this is something that could affect him more than perhaps somebody else who didn't depend on his legs so much.
Right. How about his top receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, Stefania, who himself was in and out of the game last Thursday night. He had a big catch, and then he had a bunch of plays with a hat on the sideline.
Right, and that was my worry going into last week's game. As I mentioned, when DeAndre's really hurt, sometimes this happens, and that was the case. He was not in great shape going into last week's game. He had the big play. And he showed why he is such an elite receiver, because he slowed down. He did a bit of a stutter step and then sped past the defender. Well, that exact maneuver is not the kind of thing you want to do to a hamstring. And he certainly aggravated it after that. In fact, he came back in later in the game, much to the disappointment of his coach. And they wanted to protect him from himself. So he did not practice on Wednesday. And, you know, he's always going to push to play. But I'm going to need to be convinced that he's really DeAndre Hopkins so that you don't end up starting him and get another showing like you did this past week.
Okay, and one more Arizona note, by the way, Stefania, is that AJ Green has an injury or a health update, I should say.
Yeah, AJ Green placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, so he is out for this week. And while we're mentioning other players, just Chase Edmonds, also on the injury report, is limited. Remember, he banged up his shoulder. Actually looked pretty scary last week, but then came back in the game. So I think he'll be able to go just by the fact that he's practicing.
Perhaps a vulnerable weekend for Arizona against San Francisco. So, Mike, I think I'm going to hold off too much on this until we get maybe more concern about Kyler Murray not being available. Certainly we'll have all the latest on fantasy football now on Sunday morning. I agree with Stefania. I thought not the body language, but the tone from Cliff Kingsbury made me feel a little bit uncertain about Kyler on Sunday. Interestingly enough, Mike, he hasn't been great recently. I shouldn't say consistently great. He's been a little bit way down in terms of rushing. And I don't know if this is wrong or if this is just in my brain the way things have gone this year. But remember coming into the season, we talked about how like you have to chase quarterbacks who have rushing upside. It feels like there's been a lot less rushing from quarterbacks that we saw a lot of rushing from last year. Kyler being one example. Justin Herbert hardly been running is another example. We haven't seen as much from Dak. Yep, great call. And I understand Dak is a health, probably a health part consideration there. But it feels like we've seen less of that this year.
Yeah, I haven't dug into that, so sorry for coming unprepared. Didn't know we were going to talk about that. So I don't know if that's fully accurate, but it does seem like that for some of those top guys. It certainly does apply to
Daniel, let me ask you a question.
Should I just leave?
How much longer are we going to have Mike Clay on the podcast when he never shows up prepared, has no data to back up any of his points? Have we thought, like, is Matthew not available today?
I mean, right now he is, but I think it might be better just to have Kyle sit back in that seat and just let Mike go home. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah, Wally Pipp. You ever heard of him or no?
I have heard of him. Okay. I'm familiar. I'm that old.
Do a little bit more research on Wally Pipp. Yeah, do you guys know, like, tomorrow, the next day, is the 160th anniversary of the very first football game played between, I believe, Princeton and Rutgers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Matthew went to that game, had a nice front row seat at it. I was going to ask him about it, unfortunately, not on the show today or tomorrow. So finally, one more COVID issue. It's in New York, and right now it pertains to just one fantasy
relevant
player.
Wasn't sure where you were
going
with that, because it could have been a couple places.
Yeah, but. That's a good point. Been a tough week for the NFL on the COVID front. But let's talk about Saquon Barkley here for a second, Stefano. An interesting day, right? Starts out looking not so good, a little bit of a glimmer of hope, and then right back onto the COVID list.
So it is a little confusing. I think if you want to read more about it, you can go to Jordan Ronan's article, The Newser, on it, and explains a little bit in more detail. But they had a number of players and personnel test positive yesterday, the Giants did. I believe there were 13 members of the organization, including the running backs coach, Burton Burns. And what happens when you have a whole bunch of positives and you're surprised by it, especially if there are a number of asymptomatics, is they retest immediately because they want to make sure that it's not a bunch of false positives. It can happen. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen. After the retesting, my understanding of this is that Burns, the coach, running backs coach, was the only one who was a confirmed positive, which by inference suggests to me that these are inconclusive tests. But while something is inconclusive, those folks who tested positive originally have to be under the protocol as an assumed positive. So I know there is additional testing going on. And at this point, I think it's too early to say what their COVID-19 status is going to be for the rest of the week. I will say this, Saquon Barkley is still dealing with an ankle injury. And actually, Jordan posted some really interesting footage last week from practice where when they're doing the warm-ups and they do these light jogs down the field, and then you'll see players like they're jogging or they're skipping and they turn and backpedal. The only motion Saquon was doing was straight ahead. He wasn't doing any lateral. He wasn't turning. He wasn't backpedaling. So that's clearly still protecting his ankle. It doesn't sound to me like somebody who's about to step into a football game.
I'm with you as well. It feels like Devontae Booker will once again carry the load for the Giants this weekend with a bye week around the corner for New York. Cleveland is all sorts of bizarre, and this is not a health situation, so I'll just brief people recently for what has happened. Odell Beckham Jr.'s father a couple of days ago took to Instagram, posted a video of Odell Beckham Jr. being open. Baker Mayfield not throwing to Odell Beckham Jr. when he is open. LeBron James took to Twitter, who said something to the effect of free OBJ. He's going to show he's still a wide receiver one. The Browns excused OBJ from practice on Wednesday and Thursday. It's clear that OBJ's future in Cleveland is very much on ice. By the time you're listening to this podcast, we could have some resolution to this situation. He's not at practice today. Does not seem like he'll be playing on Sunday. I'm not sure he'll ever play again for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know where it all went wrong in Cleveland for OBJ, but one of the most talented players in the NFL has hardly made a consistent mark in Cleveland after a trade that we thought could alter the landscape of the NFL when it was consummated during the 2019 offseason. But his teammate, Jarvis Landry, his best friend on the team, does have a health situation, Stefania. What's the latest on him and his knee?
Yeah, he didn't practice on Wednesday field with the knee injury. And, you know, he went into last week's game banged up and then looked to be clearly uncomfortable a couple of times during the game. We know Jarvis Landry, he guts it out. He's always trying to play. In fact, when he left for a period last week's game, I thought that was going to be the end of seeing him, and he ends up back on the field. So last week, he didn't practice Wednesday, got in a little bit of work late in the week, and ended up playing stay tuned. Not sure exactly what his status will be for this weekend at this point.
Okay, we'll keep an update, or we'll keep an eye on the update surrounding Jarvis Landry. He's a pretty tough guy. He seems to find his way to fight through a lot of pain consistently, but times are interesting in Cleveland right now. We're going to talk about the legend of Mike White in just a moment. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Yep. Sure you do.
I know you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, football fans. We have an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use the promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Now listen, some people who drive, they're driving a lot, and they're making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back is added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, your PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Plenty of ways to get that money back. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF. Check out our friends over at GetUpside.
Sorry, I talked through it.
I mean, Brian jumped the gun a little bit there on the slate, but like also, like I know. I'm sorry, Field.
No, that was... I got a
Get Upside.
Yeah.
Get Upside. Yeah. That's right. I got Upside out of that one. I also enjoyed it. It was a funny moment right there. Let's preview Thursday night football. Okay. And I got to be honest with you, Mike. Before we talk about Mike White, and I, you guys probably know this by now, I don't spend as much time talking about my personal fantasy teams, for better or worse, on this show because as much as this is a job for us, I also want to just enjoy them. And there are going to be times where I do things correctly. There are going to be times where I build teams that are bad. But I did want to mention this one because it was like so unintentional that I had to laugh about it. We have a dynasty team, a dynasty league amongst 10 of us here at ESPN. All four of the people that you see here are in this league.
Correct.
Superflex.
Yeah, Superflex, two quarterback league. So my team has really struggled with injuries. I've got David Montgomery and Raheem Mostert and Curtis Samuel, and I had Jerry Jeudy. I have OBJ. I have George Kittle. I have a long list of quarterbacks. Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I realized pretty quickly that my team was not going to play for first this year. But I also don't believe in tanking. So last week, all of my quarterbacks were either injured or Mac Jones. And I played Mac Jones and whatever. And I went to the waiver wire just before the games began on Sunday morning, and I said, screw it. I'm grabbing Mike White. Like, I don't know who I'm going to play. I'm playing against Damien, who has an incredible team, by the way.
The stat pillar from the fantasy show
on ESPN Plus. He's got one of the best. He and Mike great have team. Probably...
He's super smart. Damien's a great mind.
They're great. Two of the best teams. And, like, in a game in which I had absolutely no chance of winning, I got 26 points out of Mike White. So I'm thinking to myself, like, did I waste my smartest waiver claim of the entire year in a matchup in which I have no chance of winning? Probably. Probably, but I also have a newfound respect for Mike White. Uh-huh. The question is, how much respect should I have as they play the Indianapolis Colts tonight? The game is in Indy. The first time the Colts have played an at-home primetime game since Frank Reich became their coach. Mike, you've got him at quarterback 20 on your board. It's a complete lack of disrespect. Explain yourself.
Where are you at? Wait a minute. Hold on.
19.
19. All right, so we're in the same conversation here. I mean, first of all, you know, I think to really buy into this, you have to imagine that Mike White is going to pan out, right? Like, he's going to emerge as a starting caliber quarterback. If you feel like he's a top 12 fantasy option, you probably have to feel that way.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kyle about this before the show. Like, off the top of your head, name someone that fits this conversation. Like, a day three pick that's a backup for years, gets waived, and then just explodes into a star, you know?
A quarterback specifically?
Many. Yeah. I mean... It's rare, right? I mean, you look at the franchise quarterbacks, go through the 32 teams, they're almost all first-round picks. I mean, It's so rare for something like this to happen. So that's step one,
like
right?
Kurt Warner slash that's exactly Mark Bulger type, right? Like, I know Bulger never became a super duper star, but still, he was a good player for a while there.
Yeah, and even a guy like Kurt Warner played as a star in another
bagging
league.
Bagging groceries, yeah.
Well, he was a star in another league too,
sure,
nonetheless. So that's step one, right? You kind of should have...
Also,
you hope it pans out, but you have to be realistic.
When Kurt Warner was there, he didn't have a rookie that they just drafted number two overall like that same year, correct? Because like that's the part about this whole thing that's just crazy to me. I get Jets fans just want something fun to watch, but like you just drafted Zach Wilson number two overall, man.
Like sports talk radio right now in New York is always great. Hilarious right now. So good. Like, are we trading Zach Wilson for 3 ones and just playing Mike White for the rest of
right.
It's like, oh my God.
Right.
Oh my
and
God,
and I also love it. And also, he played the week before, right? He played a big chunk of that game against the Patriots, 20 of 32, 202 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. So, I mean, the thing here is the matchup's actually decent, right? The Colts are second in passing touchdowns allowed. Yeah. They allowed a lot of them to the best quarterbacks they face. Maybe Mike White belongs in that category with L. Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Tannehill and Stafford. We don't know that yet, but probably not. So a lot of that production came from them. So the matchup's probably neutral. And again, he doesn't do anything with his legs, right? He has negative one rushing yard this season. That's another thing that's going to kind of limit him. So I'm not obviously not optimistic. I have him as a mid-range QB2 with about four teams on a bye this week and Aaron Rodgers not playing, you know, so I want to see it. I want to see more from Mike White. But I'll tell you what, as a fan of football, I hope he's a superstar. That would be an awesome story. It'd be an awesome story.
Disrespectful by Mike. Yeah, I've got him at 19. I mean, he did catch that 2-point conversion last week. That was pretty sweet.
Philly
from,
special,
Mike
right?
White.
Wasn't that the Philly special? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, but I feel like teams are like we should just call it Philly special every time. It's
of course we should.
Everyone Broadway special.
Yeah, it's just like the New York special. Then the next week it's Carolina special. It's a Philly special, right? That's the name it has. Right?
I agree on
my
that.
My biased Eagles fan opinion.
By the way, so the yards per attempt last week, 45 divided by 405 gets you around, or 405 divided by 45. I should say it's about 9 yards per attempt. Like the number of throws last week that were just dumped down to the running backs that turned into like 15-yard gains, like that's hard to count on every single week as well. But it's a great story. And I'm looking forward to watching him tonight because this is why I love sports, right? We laugh about the Jets' lack of experience behind Zach Wilson. And everybody's making fun of the Jets for trading for Joe Flacco right now. But like I give Mike White a lot of credit. There's the old expression, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. And that's what Mike White did. He capitalized on his opportunity, made Jets fans happy. Daniel, we have, I believe, before we get to Michael Carter, I believe you may have a pencil update.
So I've pulled it apart.
Okay.
I've now just got the shaft here, and I've got the point where I'm trying to get the lead out, but it's so small. I can't do it. I have no idea how my little brother does this, for the record, let alone make the pencil work. So I'm working on it. I'm trying real hard. I appreciate you checking back in on me, Field. I'll have an update for you a little bit later in the show. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know how you said about like people don't really care about your fantasy team?
What does that mean,
doing
Mike?
Pencil updates now.
What do you mean?
On the show?
He was working really hard on that over there. I wanted to, you know, anyways.
My little brother made this pencil for me because he loves me, Mike.
Yeah. And you just keep beating it down that
it
doesn't work.
The problem is it's the worst
endorsement ever. His brother, who walks uphill both ways to his office every single day to slave over those pencils he's crafting. Talking about Michael Carter, who all of a sudden has found his way way, way up on the running back board, Mike. And we knew his best trait coming into the season was his pass catching ability. And maybe it's because of his skill set. Maybe it's because of all the injuries. Maybe it's because of the backup quarterback situation. But he has been catching a ton of passes recently.
Yeah, 23 targets over his past two games. And a big part of that has been Mike White, right? And you were just talking about his average depth of throw is super short. He's dumping it off a lot, but he's playing tonight, so there's no reason to expect that to change. But, you know, Carter has been trending up even before that, right? It hasn't been all about that. 9 or more carries in 6 straight games. He had a season-high 15 last week. So, again, it's not all the passing down work. He's getting more involvement in the rushing game, and it's led to some fantasy production. 14 or more fantasy points in 3 straight games. He was the top-scoring fantasy running back just this past week in Week 8. So a lot of good there. The potential issue this week is the matchup, of course, right? The Colts are very good against running backs, 3rd fewest fantasy points, only 3 touchdowns to that position this season, the 8th lowest yards per carry, and the 5th fewest running back targets faced as well, which again, that's been part of why he's been so good the past 2 weeks. So there are a lot of things to like, some things to be concerned about, but again, there's running backs out, there's bye weeks. So when all is said and done, he looks like a a solid RB2 option. He should be in lineups.
Well, part of the reason why he's catching a ton of passes is also the Jets' relative lack of consistency at wide receiver, which is impacted by health right now, Stefania. Corey Davis got hurt in practice 1 week ago today. It was a hip injury. It cost him week 8. Is he available tonight?
I don't think so. He's listed as doubtful. But I think what's interesting, Andy Vasquez of the Bergen Record said that he injured his hip last week in a one-on-one drill by just taking a bad step. And I just think it's interesting to me because we're always assuming like, oh, they step on the playing field and something, you know, this is how they get injured. Now, he took a misstep, but you know how you can jam something if you step wrong and you kind of, could it be that he just bruised his hip from doing something that simple? So he said he's feeling better. He had said originally, we'll see. But when I saw the doubtful tag come back, you got to assume he's not playing and they'll defer until next week.
Okay, so we'll plan on not having Corey Davis. Mike, what does that mean for the Jets wide receivers? Is anybody that should be inside lineups tonight?
I think there is. I think Jamison Crowder is number one. You know, he's had some production even with Corey Davis in the lineup, and he has had six or more targets in all four games since he's been back from injury, so that's a good sign. We know he's especially in PPR, it helps that he's a short range, short of target. He's going to catch a high percentage of his throws. Now, he's been kind of 50-50, a little boom bust so far, right? Two duds, but the other two games, 7 for 61 and a touchdown and 8 for 84. That was last week in the big game from Mike White, so that's a good sign. And also, I think, again, this is not a safe play by any means, but if you're looking for a flyer for your flex spot, you can look at Elijah Moore, the rookie. Obviously, he had a terrific offseason. A lot of hype for the second rounder. Hasn't really worked out yet so far, but we're seeing some positive signs. 10 and 13 fantasy points over the past 2 weeks. They were both season highs when he hit them. Season high was last week. And, you know, he's had no top 25s this season, so you'll worry a little bit about the ceiling, but 6+ targets in 4 of his past 5 games. So, again, he's kind of in that range where Crowder is in terms of usage, more of a big play threat than Crowder. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to use him more downfield. He's going to be on the perimeter. So I think that's the order of priority. Again, Crowder, you're starting him if you have him, most likely. Moore, more of a flex option.
Let's move things over to the Colts side, and we go to Carson Wentz, who's over 60% available in leagues. If you are looking for a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers replacement, Mike Clay, is Carson Wentz a name that you should be considering?
I think so. He's 12th on my board, so okay. I am viewing him as a streaming option this week. And again, there's been pluses and minuses with him as well. 17+ fantasy points in 7 of 8 games. That sounds pretty good, right? That's a really nice floor, but it hasn't really cut it for a high ceiling this year, right? Because he has no weekly finishes better than QB9. Wow. That's his best finish. So that's like you're kind of at a disadvantage every week, even though you're getting a high floor. So that's something to consider there. But again, you have 4 teams out. You have no Aaron Rodgers, and it kind of moves him up just a little bit into that streaming conversation. 2+ passing touchdowns and 5 straight. Why has he not had the ceiling? Rushing is part of it. 48 rushing yards during his past 5 games. He's also been under 235 passing yards in 4 of his past 5 games. So again, it feels like he's playing pretty well, right? He's had a couple, we'll say, bonehead mistakes, right, along the way, especially last week.
Nice of you putting it that way.
I mean, being honest, I think he would say that too, right? He made some mistakes.
That's correct.
But for the most part, he's played better than I think a lot of people expected. Also, the matchup kind of neutral here. 7th fewest touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks by the Jets this season, but the 8th most yards, only 1 interception. So I think there's reasons for optimism. I think he'll have a decent game against this Jets defense. We just saw them get crushed by the Mac Jones and the Patriots a couple weeks ago. Obviously, the Bengals almost came back and won at a lot of offense in that game as well. So I think there's enough here that if you need a streaming option, Wentz is out there. He's a guy you put in your lineup.
So quick question for you. Do you think there are enough other options that are available on Sunday that, let's say you have Kyler Murray right now and you're uncertain about him for Sunday, do you think you should make the move on Wentz, or would you prefer to wait it out and go search for somebody like a Tua or like a Jordan Love or like Teddy Bridgewater, et cetera?
That's a good question. I think if you have those sort of names, you're fine, right? If you're in a deeper league or super flex, and you might want to think about it. You know, you don't want to get caught, you know, in that sort of situation. But, you know, by the way, to your point on Kyler too, you know, you go back to week 2, he was a top scoring fantasy quarterback week 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Since that point, he's 1 weekly finish better than 9th.
Wow.
You know, so you're right. I mean, he has fallen off a little bit, and that could kind of swing you that way too. It's not like I'm going to wait for this guy who's going to put up 35 fantasy points. We haven't really had that from him as of late. So I would at least think about that based on what's available on waivers and what sort of league you are. It's a consideration, but I think in most scenarios, you're probably going to wait it out. You're probably going to have enough backup options that you don't have to do it. But again, at least think about it. Look at your league, look at your roster, and then make a decision.
It's been fun to watch Jonathan Taylor recently. He has looked like an absolute star for the Colts because he is a star for the Colts. He's number five on your four on your RB board this week, Mike. He has been unbelievable since week four, as he is the highest scoring running back in fantasy since week four of the regular season.
Yeah, I do. I want to talk about him a little bit because obviously he's a lineup lock, right? You have him, you're starting him, but I feel like there's been concerns at times with him, even like the first half of last year, and then coming into the season with Naheem Hines there and Marlon Mack, and it's been kind of a slow start to the season. But but think about a few of these things here. Five straight top 10 fantasy weeks. He has one or more touchdowns in all five of those games. He has 18-plus fantasy points in six of his eight games this season. He's second in rushing yards, sixth in receiving yards among running backs, first in OTD. So 7.3 is expected touchdown total, leads the entire NFL. He has seven touchdowns, so that's not a fluke. That aligns exactly with his usage. And this week, an outstanding matchup going up against the Jets. Most fantasy points, touches, scrimmage yards, and touchdowns, 13 to running backs this season. 10 running backs have hit 15 points against him. Five have reached 20. Obviously, Taylor, you would expect to be in that category. They've allowed 29-plus fantasy points to the opposing running back unit in all seven games this season. So, they've played seven games. The Colts have played eight. So, it's a great matchup. The volume's huge. He's playing at a high level. There's so much to like about Jonathan Taylor. He's set up for a huge game.
Let's talk about Michael Pittman quickly as well. Another guy that sort of established himself as a lineup lock. He's been awesome for the Colts recently.
Yeah, he absolutely has. 20-plus fantasy points in four games, including three of the past four this season. Top 10 in receiving yards and receptions this season. Again, his usage, his expected touchdown total, 3.6, aligns with his actual touchdown total of four this season. And last week, you know, right when there was like almost, you were almost a little nervous about his targets falling, he was down to like, what was it, four targets, three targets in back-to-back games. He had a career-high 15 targets and 10 catches last week. So not worried about that. The Jets, we've talked about this in the past. They've done better than expected against wide receivers. I think a lot of that was a hot start against inferior competition. But they're starting to crack a little bit as of late. 45-plus fantasy points to receivers in their past two games. They've only allowed five touchdowns to the position this year. But again, I think a lot of that was their schedule. So a lot of reason for optimism here with Pittman. And to your point, if you have him, he's certainly a lineup lock right now.
He has been fun to watch. Young player who is just continuing his rise. Let's pick this game. I am going to go with the Colts 31, the Jets 19.
Well, it's Jets-Colts, right? So 16-7 Jets, right? I guarantee it. Duh. Matt Snell scores a touchdown.
Wow. For those who don't realize what he's referencing, that's Joe Namath guaranteeing a Super Bowl win.
That's the Super Bowl III score, 16-7. My actual projected score, 28-19 in favor of the Colts.
Why you keep stealing my numbers? 19's really random. That's my pick this week.
You hacked into my system, clearly.
Duh. Very technologically
advanced. What was your score, by the way?
31-19.
31-19. Okay. So, yeah, you have you like the Colts more than I do.
I do.
28-19. Yeah. I think it's
Stefania, who do you got?
Comfortable win.
I'm going with the Colts.
Score?
I'm not going to get into your numbers right now.
How come? Okay, fine.
Go with a score and not me.
I just want a score, Gami. That makes me happy when it happens. Yeah.
Last time all four of us picked the same team, you remember what happened?
We lost.
Yeah. I'm going to take the New York Football Jets. I'm going to do it for you guys.
Wow.
Wow. Daniel's the only one who believes in Mike White. Is that prediction written in pencil or pen?
It's not written in anything because I can't get the stupid pencil to work. I'm going to bring in a pen tomorrow. I'll tell you what. Andy, I'm so sorry. I promise I'll do a better job next time.
Worst advertisement ever.
No. All right, let's move forward here to the wide receiver cornerback matchups. I'd say it every single week. Mike Clay writes a wonderful column. It's awesome. It is incredibly insightful.
He also writes wide receiver cornerback matchups.
Wow.
You see what
I did?
No, it's because
he writes my good column then.
The good column, as you know, is the playbook, because the playbook's freaking
awesome as well.
So you backdoored yourself to a compliment.
You guys have to do a whole podcast right after this.
Do we need to put you guys in timeout?
I haven't seen Mike in a little bit. This is what Mike and I do. I love Mike.
That pencil's getting thrown at me at some point.
Mike's going to have lead poisoning by the end of the day. So let's talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups, Mike, and we begin with Mike Williams and the Chargers, who face off against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's nice this year to be talking about the Eagles on the good side of wide receiver cornerback matchups, because the last few years in the Jim Schwartz scheme, the way it was built, it was very man-heavy, and they were picked on a lot, and you could take advantage of that with the wide receiver position. They did some other things well, but certainly not that. This year, quite the opposite. Extremely zone heavy. They've allowed the third fewest fantasy points to receivers this season, the fewest to the perimeter, the seventh fewest to the slot, the fewest catches, the third fewest receiving yards to receivers, just across the board. Terrific. Actually, believe it or not, you know, you think about like Tyreek Hill just crushing them that 1 week, right? Only six receivers have reached 10 fantasy points against Eagles this season.
That includes Tyreek Hill?
That includes Tyreek Hill, right? Yeah. So they've done a really nice job. They've played eight games. Only six guys have gotten to 10. So that shows you that it might be hard for both Williams and Keenan Allen to do that this week. Now, Darius Slay has shadowed three times over the past 4 weeks, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, and Henry Ruggs. So naturally, you would expect him to shadow Mike Williams in this game, right? He only plays on the perimeter. Him and Steven Nelson only play outside. They don't go to the slot. So you would expect him to be outside against Mike Williams. He lines out there 83% of the time. Keenan Allen is in the slot 63% of the time. So Allen will dodge Nelson and Slay in this game most of the time, right? Maybe a third of the time he'll see those guys, see a lot of Avante Maddox. But again, overall, the Eagles have done a good job against his position. So my assessment is Allen, don't have to move the needle a lot, maybe a downgrade a little bit. He's already struggled with upside. He has no top 12 fantasy weeks this season.
Keenan Allen.
Hard to believe. Keenan Allen has none. Mike Williams has been more boom bust, but he's had the high ceiling and has outscored Allen this season. But he does have the tougher matchup here. So again, all we're doing is taking what we've learned from the first 8 weeks and applying it here. And if it applies again this week, then it might be a bit of a down game for these guys.
Let's go to the Bills wide receivers, who last week, Cole Beasley was just awesome for the Bills. How's this matchup this week against the Jaguars? So the Bills are 14-point favorites.
Well, Beasley will actually be facing off with a former Eagle, Rudy Ford, who is a safety.
Yeah.
Traded him from Arizona to Philadelphia, was a kind of a backup safety for the Eagles, and now he goes to Jacksonville, and they're still trying to figure out that cornerback situation. And last week, they decided to move forward to the slot and be their primary slot corner. So that shows you how it's going right down there with their cornerback situation. Jags, seventh most fantasy points to receivers, the most overexpected. So if you adjust for volume, they've really struggled. And a reason they're not, that doesn't match up with actual, is because they're trailing a lot, right? So teams are running against them. They're not throwing. But when teams throw, they've had a lot of success. They've had the second highest yards per target, the worst catch rate against wide receivers, 39-plus fantasy points allowed in six of seven games. Just, again, across the board, struggles with efficiency against that position. And remember, last week we talked about these Bills receivers in a plus matchup. They put up 48.9 fantasy points combined against the Dolphins. So they paid off in that situation. We would expect that again. By the way, Shaq Griffin, former Seahawk, now the number one for Jacksonville. He shadowed Ja'Marr Chase, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. Stephon Diggs lines up outside 80% of the time. I think he may shadow him. Griffin's pretty good. Not too worried about it, though. Diggs is better, obviously. So just across the board, a really good matchup for Buffalo's wide receivers.
DK had two touchdowns last week. Ja'Marr Chase had a day. Like, I don't know that it's worked that effectively so far for Jacksonville.
And Griffin's a good corner, but he just hasn't matched. It hasn't worked out when he's shadow top corner.
What do you got, Daniel?
Really quickly, Mike, you said last week the Bills wide receivers had how many fantasy points?
48.9.
All right, how many of them did Emmanuel Sanders have? Can I ask? Because he's a guy this week.
He was on a bye last week.
Oh, was he on a bye? Is that what it was, Mike?
He had a zero, so he must have had a veteran week off.
Yes. So how does that work this week? Because, like, he obviously, we've seen him be great, but last week was tough with a zero.
Yeah, I think that's, we've seen flukes like that before. I think a couple years ago, wasn't Mike Evans, like week two, had two targets for no catches, something like that. Once in a while it happens. I'm not worried about it. I believe he had five targets Sanders did last week in that game. And he may, I mean, Beasley and Sanders have the best matchups, because if Griffin shadows Diggs, he's clearly their best corner. That would put Sanders up against Tyson Campbell, the rookie, which is a good situation. So I'm not worried about that. If I have Sanders, I still view him as a wide receiver three flex.
So Devontae Parker, if he plays, Stefani, let me ask you, do you expect him to play on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, he came back last week. He was gone for 3 weeks, the hamstring issue, which first cropped up, I think, before the London game. And then he was out for 3 weeks, shoulder, hamstring, came back last week and played 91% of the offensive snap. So it's not like they limited his usage in any way. And he was targeted pretty heavily. I think he had 11 targets. So limited in practice to start the week, but that's a management thing, I believe.
Should be all good to go then for Sunday against the Texans. Mike, do you like the matchup this week against a Texan secondary that keeps getting thinner?
Yeah, I love the matchup. We're going to talk about him more later on the CSS DFS podcast. I think he's a terrific DFS play this week. And honestly, he could be a top 15 play this week, honestly. I mean, the projections love him. The target share has been a high. The matchup is terrific. Now, the Texans this week, I feel like every week this comes up, they're just rotating between Desmond King and Vernon Hargraves. Like, we're in week nine. If they've done it like six times already, just back and forth. Desmond King was healthy scratch last week. this week, Vernon Hargreaves was waived.
He was cut.
He was just cut right off the team, and he played 95% of the snaps last week. So again, this is another team that can't seem to figure it out at corner. They move on from Hargreaves, and Hargreaves, I mean, over the last 2.5 years, he's allowed the most fantasy points among any defender in the NFL. It's been a struggle, but King hasn't been much better. Again, he's been benched for Hargreaves this season. So Parker, mostly on the perimeter, 86% of the time, he's going to see Desmond King and Terrence Mitchell on the other side. Mitchell's been solid, but overall a pretty good matchup here. Houston has struggled, 9th most fantasy points over expected to the position, 4th highest yards per target. And this is the interesting part of this, the splits. So they've allowed the 6th fewest to the slot. Okay. That's where Jaylen Waddle is most of the time, right? So this might actually be kind of a tough matchup for him against Tavier Thomas inside, who's played pretty well. But they've allowed the 4th most fantasy points to the perimeter. That's where Parker is, and a to-be-determined number 2 perimeter receiver. They're rotating guys like Mac Hollins and Albert Wilson's out there sometimes. And Preston Williams, if he's healthy. Will Fuller not expected back yet. So this sets up well for a big target share for Parker. Really good matchup. I like him a lot.
Okay, there you have it. Devontae Parker up this week. One more to ask you about, though, Mike, is Courtland Sutton, who faces off, we think, against Trayvon Diggs. That can't be good, can it?
Yeah, it's, again, we've talked about this, too, in the past. Like, Diggs has been awesome this year, right? And I think he's a really good cover corner, and he has a lot of interceptions, but he's allowed some fantasy production, too, right? He's allowed some of it, and he's heavily targeted. You know, sometimes James Bradbury's probably a good comparison because he's a playmaker. He's really good. But teams still attack him, right? Because they just decide we're still going to our number one. We're not that afraid that we're not going to go to our number one. It doesn't always work out, but sometimes it does. But from a fantasy perspective, if you have Courtland Sutton, you know, it's good news that teams still attack Trevon Diggs, which is what has happened this season. That's why he has so many interceptions. Because even though he's shadowing guys like Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Kenny Galladay, teams are still throwing at him. So I don't want to overreact to this, but at the same time, Diggs has been pretty good this season overall. The Cowboys... kind of mid-pack in terms of fantasy points allowed, including to the perimeter, which is where Sutton primarily aligns. But I will say this, Jerry Jeudy in the slot 87% of the time. Dallas has allowed the fewest fantasy points to the slot. So, you know, they've actually allowed a little more to the perimeter than they have to slot receivers. So maybe a tiny downgrade for Sutton. I still think you're starting him. Same kind of thing for Jeudy. Maybe a little bit more nervous than usual in this matchup, but the guy has so much talent. It's his second week back. You feel a little bit better about firing him up.
Yeah, he looked good last week, and the 4 opportunities Jerry Jeudy got, he caught all 4 of them for 36 yards. Not a lot of big playability, but still, guy that looks like he's going to... not a lot of big playability last week, I should say, but I expect that to change over the few weeks ahead for Jeudy.
Yeah, it was a really weird game for Denver. We loved the matchup, right? We thought they would be able to put up some huge production against Washington, but they had every single player who was targeted had either 3 or 4 targets in that game. Wow. It was just they spread it around to so many guys. I don't know that that's going to be the case going forward because you... have that core group of Sutton, Jeudy, and Fant when he's out in the field. But, you know, anyway, it was just a weird week, a very low-volume passing game for them, and they just spread it around to so many guys.
We will be back to discuss more rankings in just a second, but first, a quick break.
Yes, field. Football and basketball is back.
Yeah,
and best
are.
Of all, the safe return of live events means you can actually be there to see all the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's eye view to parking passes, being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Events for every fan. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
We can't all be college football national champs,
nope.
But every one of us can be an Eckrich National Tailgate Champion. And you don't need years of training. You just need Eckrich Smoked Sausage. To win, you need to show Eckrich how you do every game day. Do you have a special recipe passed down over generations? Do you dress your sausage with team-colored toppings? Do you lay your deli meat on your sandwich as thick as you lay on the trash talk? However you do you, Eckrich wants to see it in all its glory. Enter at Eckrich.com/tailgate. That's Eckrich.com/tailgate. Eckrich is the official sponsor of the college football playoff. You do you.
Field.
What?
I waited for the thing. Can I say something real fast?
Of course. Yeah, go for it.
I put ketchup and cheese on my sausages.
Okay.
And that's it. And I think that's the way that you're all supposed to do it. But I'm just curious how you guys, like if you eat like a hot dog or a sausage, what is it that you normally put on it?
I mean, I'm sort of
how is mustard missing from this equation?
Need mustard.
Really?
Relish is also delicious. Ooh. I like spicy mustard on sausage, though.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
I like yellow.
Yellow
like
mustard.
Works. Yeah, yeah.
Mike?
I like spicy mustard.
I don't think I could comment. I'm going to lose some support.
Yeah.
Are you
don't tell me you put mayonnaise on.
Are you a no condiment guy? You just eat it dry?
It's worse. I'm not a sausage / hot dog guy.
Really?
Nope. I'm burgers, chicken, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Coming up next week on the podcast, Kyle Sauppi does his wide receiver cornerback matchup.
Wow. Right.
No brats? No, like.
No, I'm just not. It's not my thing. I've just never been a.
Wow.
Okay, never Mike. Been a, okay. a sausage
okay.
eater.
Okay. Yeah, we heard you the first time. Weirdo. All right, let's talk about ranking tier for a
I
second.
I want to talk more about food.
Let's talk about
okay. We don't want to talk more about food.
We don't want to do that.
I like talking about food, but
your food takes the wrong category. Food takes are wrong.
Keep
so.
Your food takes
Stick
to yourself.
Stick to cornerbacks.
That's right. Thank you. Good call by Stefania. Let's talk
this
about
is why
Derek.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all.
No comment.
Let's talk about the Titans and Derrick Henry, Mike. So obviously he's going to miss a significant period of time. I would be surprised, I continue to say this, if he plays again this season. But let's talk about what it means for the remaining players in that backfield and then the new addition to the backfield in Adrian Peterson. We'll start with week 9. How high do you have Jerry McNichols in your rankings?
So I have McNichols 28th. I have Peterson 39th for now. I'm hoping we get a little more clarity on how much Peterson will play this week, if he'll even play. You know, we don't know for sure what the plan is for specifically this week. But if I was picking one of these guys for this week, I would go with McNichols. He's been there already. He's already handling, believe it or not, about 10% of their targets, right? He's already been involved in the passing game this season. So you couple that with potentially an uptick to 6-7 carries maybe for McNichols. I think he could handle that. That's a pretty decent amount of usage, right? And it's enough at least to put him on the flex radar. Now, ideally, you're not starting any of these guys till we get some clarity, but that would be my preferred choice. But, you know, and I'll leave it there for week 9 at least.
Okay, yep.
But you want
the only thing I'll add is that this week could be a good week for McNichols because they're playing the Rams and they're so high powered and so high scoring that this could be a shootout. This could be a 17-3 game before we blink at second quarter, and I don't know that you can play slow it down football against the Rams because of just how good they've been this season. But for the rest of the season, Mike, assuming Adrian Peterson grows comfortable in this system, is he the preferred back for the rest of the year?
I think so. And sometimes you just kind of have to sit back and think about what makes sense for utilization. What type of players are what have they done the past few years? Just how are they utilized? And I think in a perfect world for Tennessee, you'd slide Peterson into an abbreviated version of the Henry role, right? He's never been a big target guy. He's never done a lot in the passing game. But he's been a guy that, essentially, the last few years, an innings eater, if we're being honest, right? Go out there, he can handle 15 carries if he needs to.
Good call.
He can average 3.9, 4 yards a carry. Just get the job done when you're calling runs and keep the clock moving, get into the end zone at the goal line. And I think that's probably the plan. So I could see Peterson getting up to, say, 15 carries a game, maybe one target, two targets. So what is best case scenario for him? Probably Elijah Mitchell, Damian Harris.
Right.
That sort of player. That's probably your best case scenario, which means RB2. And if that's what he is, great. And the fact that he could get there in this high scoring offense, right? It's a really good Tennessee offense. They've obviously, it has set up a really nice situation for Derrick Henry there. That's worth being aggressive on waivers, right? Now we're past waivers. A lot of people have picked him up already, but I think there's reason for optimism that he gets there. And then in that scenario, you bring in Jeremy McNichols as a change of pace guy and certainly in passing situations. So that's what I expect. I think Peterson has back end, maybe mid-range RB2 upside, probably more of a flex option if we're being realistic. Jeremy McNichols, probably more of a bench guy, maybe flirts with flex value in deep PPR leagues. But at the same time, maybe Peterson comes in not doing so hot, and Deontay Foreman gets a shot. He's a similar similar guy to Peterson, right? He's a big back.
Yeah.
He's been bouncing around the league a little bit, kind of busted earlier in his career, but he's kind of made an impressive comeback into the league now. And we'll see, you know, maybe he's the guy. So there's a lot of things floating around. Dontrell Hilliard's in the mix. You know, there's a lot of names. So depends on the depth of your league, how desperate you are running back, what you want to kind of do. But I think Foreman's an interesting end to bench guy in deeper leagues, but a lot going on. But again, priority long-term, Peterson 1, McNichols 2, Foreman 3.
Yeah, that was a lot of names right there. I got to process all of them within my brain. Stefania, I want to ask you about Taysom Hill because I want to have a conversation about where he ranks. As we know, the Saints quarterback has been in concussion protocol for a couple of weeks. Do we have any update on his status?
Well, he did participate yesterday, limited basis. So first time in practice since he had the concussion. I think he's been out since week 5. Week 5 is when he was injured. So this is the progression back, right? You do modified activity, but the fact he's out there in practice doing football-specific work is a good sign.
In a week in which we need a lot of quarterbacks to fill in, Mike, where does Taysom Hill rank for you amongst fill-ins?
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm curious to see if he plays for sure. Like, do we know
where are we? Assuming he plays.
Well, assuming he starts back in QB1. Yeah. I mean, that's what we saw last season, right? 17.5 plus fantasy points in every start. The month he was in there for Drew Brees, he was QB7 in fantasy points. So that's why would we not expect that with him to have more experience? And I know he doesn't have quite the supporting cast that we would love for him, but he does so much of it with his legs, right? He could run, he could have two rushing touchdowns even if he doesn't throw any. So I think that's that same sort of conversation, kind of a little bit lesser of a Jalen Hurts type. So that's where he'll be for me. I'm not positive if he's going to start, but I would want him on my roster right now at the very least.
I stated a couple of days ago that I was not as concerned about Alvin Kamara's value this year as it turned out we should have been last year, because when he did start meeting Taysom Hill, Kamara's targets just completely torpedoed. They went down. I think he had 3 catches in the first 3 starts for Taysom Hill and then 7 in the final start. Are you concerned at all, or do you think that this is one of those where the Saints probably have learned their lesson? They need to keep him involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I like to think that if that happens again, where they come out, say, this week and he has 2 targets, they'll be like, all right, we got it. We have to design play. I mean, keep also in mind there's no Michael Thomas this time, right?
Right.
Hill did have a chunk of those games. I don't know if it was all 4, but a chunk of those games Michael Thomas played. That's obviously not going to be the case this year. I think they'll find ways to get him involved in the passing game. But if that doesn't happen, right, and Hill's just one of them guys who's pushing it downfield and it's not happening and his target share drops to from 20 to 12% or something, I think it is going to be problematic, because maybe a couple weeks ago it wouldn't have been because he was getting 20 carries. But now with Mark Ingram there, you know, there's going to be less running involvement, more passing game involvement. We saw that last week with Ingram in there and getting carries and actually 2 targets as well. So I'm mildly nervous. I'd feel a little better if Winston was in there. Sure. But at the same time, Sean Payton's a smart guy. Taysom Hill's a smart guy. They know what they're doing offensively. I think they'll find ways to get him his 20 opportunities or so.
Yeah, he dropped the RB15 during those 4 games that Taysom Hill started. So still usable, but not Alvin Kamara, if you will. Let's do some social questions, Dan, to wrap this thing up. What do you
say? Let's do it. First one comes from King of Diamonds, wants to know, Kadarius Toney or T. Higgins rest of the season?
I'm going to go with T. Higgins, and I'll be open to other arguments. I think it's just the health concerns right now for Kadarius Toney. That ankle was not 100% this past week. Now he's got the hand or wrist issue he is dealing with. This Giants offense has been in and out in terms of player availability. They've been inconsistent. T. Higgins is a really good player, too. His volume is just absurd right now for the Bengals.
Yeah, he's played in 6 games this season, and was leading the Bengals in targets by 4 during those 6 weeks.
Well, based off the way you asked the question, Mike, I'm going to go with T. Higgins.
Yes, that's correct. It is T. Higgins. Well done. Way
great
to put
job.
That together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is T. Higgins, right? So that's a good sign. But the fantasy production isn't really followed, right? He doesn't have a top 20. His best weekly finish was the past 2 weeks. He's finished 25th. So we haven't really seen him get over the top. I think he will, and certainly he will, if that volume continues in this offense. And by the way, I'm super high on Toney. I was really disappointed how he was utilized last week. I thought that was a game that they would have come in and featured him, being like, this is how we're going to win this game. This is going to be the Toney breakout game. Because the previous game we saw him against the Rams, the whole first drive was the Kadarius Toney drive.
36 yards.
Right down the field. He got hurt, left the game. They couldn't move the ball the entire rest of the game. What are they doing this one? They just didn't really feature him. He had 5 targets. I was surprised by that. Did throw a pass, but anyway. So I do think there's long-term more reason for optimism with him, but I think the answer here, for the reasons you laid out, is it's Higgins. I would lean towards T. Higgins slightly.
Okay. Next question comes from Fax. Do I flex Sutton or Khalil Herbert? Sutton makes the wide receiver cornerback list this week, Mike. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's a tough matchup, but we talked about why there's still reasons for optimism with Sutton, so I would actually lean that way slightly. Remember, Herbert's playing Pittsburgh. Really tough matchup.
Not only that, and we'll find out later today, he got hurt last week. We'll see whether or not he is at all limited for the Bears this upcoming week in practice. Their first practice report is due today because they play on Monday night. I would lean Sutton as well, but we'll revisit this. We don't have time for that tomorrow. But
no.
We'll revisit Khalil Herbert's medical status tomorrow. How about that? We can promise you at least that much.
Deal. Tom wants to know, would you play Deontay Johnson over Davante Adams this week? This feels like a classic case of overthinking when you have one of the best wide receivers in the game, right?
Does that mean you have Deontay Johnson on your bench? Like, is that what he's trying to tell us? Like, how great is your team if you have, a top 8 receiver sitting on the bench?
Yeah, during bye weeks and with all the injuries, you're still that stacked.
Can we presume this is a daily fantasy question?
Ooh.
I don't know. Price-wise, that wouldn't make sense, right?
It says standard scoring. No, well, yeah. Tom, you have a great team, first of all, Tom. Well done. I still have Devontae Adams ranked ahead of Deontay Johnson just because we have seen Devontae Adams in previous years with the likes of Brent Huntley continue his incredible pace. Not necessarily quite at the same level that he has been with Aaron Rodgers, but still very fantasy friendly. And I know the Jordan Love pick was much maligned, and I know that it has caused some consternation amongst many around the situation. He's a first-round pick, though, Mike. This is not like the Packers are turning to some guy who has zero ability. Like, I actually kind of think Jordan Love's going to be sneaky good on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's my call for the weekend. Jordan Love, top 15 quarterback.
There it is. Yeah. Love it. Love it. I love it. I love the boldness.
You love the bold. The Jordan Love call.
Oh, yeah. I meant that. I knew what I was saying.
Wow.
I forget the question. I would go with Devontae Adams. Yeah.
I forget the question. Oh, yeah, Devontae Adams. That's right.
Just when in doubt, the answer is Devontae Adams. Also, it's non-PPR, too, which just helps Adams, too.
Touchdown.
Johnson really benefits from PPR, scores a lot of short-range catches. But, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible decision to go with Johnson and be safe because he's so good, too, and he's not that far behind. But if the question was, what would we do? The answer is play Devontae Adams.
Okay, last question here comes from Foose to close out this wonderful day. I've had so much fun being able to be here with you guys. Field, how do you keep your smile so bright and chipper?
A lot of drinking.
Wow.
Before the show. No. That's so nice of you, Foos. I don't know. I mean, listen. You know what? We have a few minutes left here. Like, you know what's crazy? Is that, like, our job, like, when someone asks you, like, what do you do? It's like, oh, yeah. Like, I watch football and talk about fantasy football for a living 5 days a week, 11 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN's Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook page. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what a world we live in, right? Like,
what a world.
We get to do that. I know that we screw up calls, and I know that sometimes our own teams don't do that well, and I know that sometimes we disagree on players or rankings or what have you, but, like, what a blessing it is to come in here every single day and hang out with you guys.
I'll tell you this. I was thinking a couple of days ago when I was taking some time off, I was thinking about how lucky we are to be able to do this. When I was figuring out what I wanted to do in life, I really, obviously, is going to come as a shock to you guys. I wanted to be in a band. And but a part of that is because, like, I know how music touched me and the way that it, you know, impacted my life. There were times where it was like, hey, I needed this, and it was a thing for me that fit right at that time. We've gotten so many emails and tweets and DMs and texts from people talking about what this show means. It's such an incredible blessing. Mm-hmm. To do this with you guys on a daily basis, because while we're in this tiny room, like, there's so many people that I know that we're able to hopefully positively impact, and that means more to me than, like, any of the rest of this, man.
This is a band, kind of.
Sort of is.
Yeah.
What would you be, Mike, if this was a band? What would you play?
Bass.
What would I play? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mike would play bass.
Something that did not involve my voice. Certainly. Wow. Maybe I used to have a little piano I like to play with.
Harrington said cowbell.
Cowbell. Yeah.
That's a good answer. I mean, I would be, you know what? I would be the band's accountant.
That's right.
That's right. You're like, here's your check. Here's your check.
Need more cowbell.
I'll do the cowbell and write the checks. That's all
so
I got.
So good. Now, it's honest. It's so much fun we get to do every single day. So we appreciate all those that do hang out with us every single day for an hour, whether it's during the live stream, whether it's your podcast version. Hopefully some people do both. We get more downloads that way. But yeah, it's a ton of fun.
So much fun. You don't have to do that. That's the thing. Like, you allow us to come into your lives for an hour every single day, and we do not forget that. Thank you so much.
Daniel's so good with words and moments where you kind of dig deep inside your heart and soul. So I always appreciate the way that you communicate things, Daniel. We're lucky to do what we do. I can't believe that this is the halfway point of the regular season, or I guess it will be after Sunday. That is just incredible. It always flies by. It just goes so, so fast every single year. But we look forward to continuing to do it for the half of this regular season. We'll keep things rolling all the way through week 18. And because of Foose's tweet, we'll continue smiling all the way through. For Mike and Daniel, don't forget they're both doing the CSS DFS podcast after this show right now. It'll be out very, very shortly. And of course, for the great Stefania Bell, I am Field on Friday. We'll talk about all the injuries you need to know. We'll recap the great Mike White Experience 2.0 and preview all the major pressing questions for Sunday and Monday's action. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You do it.
Peace out.
Nice. Good job.
I did it, guys.
More cowbell.
Look, Mom, I did
it. More cowbell. More cowbell. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's
secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you. He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.